Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. How the hell are you? It's great to have you with us here this evening, because I have an awesome program slotted for tonight. Ghosts of the Living. We've got that. The final ghostly goodbye. And we have that too. As well as shadow people, out-of-place animals, Sasquatch, ghostly apparitions, odd lights, and so much more. But it's with a strange creature we begin here tonight. Please welcome Tanya, out of the state of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Tanya from North Central Minnesota. So the story that I want to share with you today is one that has literally followed me my entire life. And on and off, I have tried to figure this out and research it in books, and then later when I got older on the internet, to really no avail. So hoping that maybe there's been an episode before where someone has seen something similar. So like I said, I'm in North Central Minnesota, but when this happened, I was 3 years old and we were living in Blaine, Minnesota, Twin Cities area. This would have been in the early 90s, and at the time that was new housing developments going up in fields, things that were once forest and then cleared out and then farmed and then cleared again and then homes built on it. So at this point, I distinctly remember being haunted in this bedroom, but it wasn't necessarily by a ghost. I would lie in my bedroom, in my bed, and I remember staring at the ceiling, and there was a border with teddy bears and little pink bows. And I would stare and try to not focus on the things I would see and hear, one of which was our window was open. And at the time, no screen in the bedroom window, and something exactly the size of a Frisbee came into the window and perfectly hovered. What drew my attention from the border to the window was I heard a humming, vibrating, light whistling sound that caught my eye, and it hovered and it hummed. That's one vivid memory that I've never been able to figure out. But the one I'm calling you about today is the one that's truly haunted me my whole life. I remember lying in my bed. What caught my eye was a very large tail. It was hooked, shaped like a candy cane. This large tail was striped. I would say almost like a tiger striped tail, and definitely the width and length of something you would see on a cougar. And that's all I saw. And it at first caught my attention, moving and swirling, its tip and curling. I turned over and I was pretty mesmerized at this point. And that's when it happened, the haunting part. A head shot up. It was a being on all fours. The being had a human-looking face, but still had cat ears. It gave me a very large, disturbing smile. Looking back as an adult, I don't know if it was trying to comfort me or if it was trying to scare me. It's not clear. But the smile was abnormally large. The only thing I could really compare it to is the Cheshire Cat. But when looking at books and reading mythology about that, it's not the right size. This wasn't the size of a normal cat. This would have been the size of a large dog. The creature stared at me with a smile. I remember screaming for my mother. And at the time, she said she was trying to sleep train me. And so she was basically letting me cry it out like they apparently did in the 80s and 90s. So nobody came to my rescue. And that being stared at me. And after that, I don't have clear memory. But I'm wondering if anyone else has seen anything like this before. A large cat with a very, very large smile, but a human-like face. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thanks, Tanya. Well, how about it, folks? Have any of you been terrorized by this cat-human creature? Have you seen it grinning in your window? Because frankly, I'm at a loss here. I'd suggest a wildcat of some sort. A bobcat, a mountain lion, maybe even a lynx, given how far north we're talking here. But I don't know that any of those big cats, quote-unquote, smile. I'm not sure what that leaves us with. A prowler, a trickster in a mask, or some sort of creature drawn in from the Minnesota wilderness by the light of Tanya's window. Now, outside of legends like the White Comico Catman out of Maryland, or the Catman of Delaware's Long Cemetery, I can't say this is something that I'm familiar with. So if you can help Tanya out, get a hold of us. And Tanya, stay tuned. I'll be sure to share if anything comes in. Now thank you again for getting things started here this evening, Tanya. We appreciate the phone call. Alright gang, I need to take a quick break here, but I'll be right back with more right after this.
Talk to people. Yeah, go to Cleveland and end your career there.
First of all,
sometimes it could be tough to find the perfect gift that feels personal and special. I don't like giving people gift cards or something off the shelf they could easily buy for themselves. Thankfully, I found Zazzle, a custom marketplace where you can pretty much take any product, whether it's a mug, a tote bag, or a phone case, and make it mean something. You're not buying a gift, you're making one. You can browse millions of designs or start from scratch and build something completely on your own. Either way, you're the designer. Everything is made on demand, so nothing is ever out of stock. Over 30 million customers have trusted Zazzle with their most important gifts, and yours is next. And Zazzle isn't just for creating unique gifts. I made some awesome Patreon flyers to put in every MAU purchase order on Zazzle. You can design and print everything from business cards to invitations. Shipping was fast, and creating a flyer was really easy. Right now, save 25% on your first order at Zazzle.com. That's 25% savings on your first order at Zazzle.com. Go make something z'amazing. Zazzle.com. There's also a link in the show notes.
Yep. They got nothing.
But there is an issue that maybe is on your mind.
All right, folks. From the woods of Minnesota to the windswept plains of Wyoming, please welcome our good friend, Addie Lloyd, back to the program.
Good morning, Derek, Sarah, kitties, and the amongsters out there. This is the Crypto Den Mom, now retired, but I still lurk. I wanted to share a story that most recently happened just a week ago, and I've been trying to debunk it myself, so I thought I would ask for some help. But let me preface this story with, I am not looking for sympathy, and this does involve a death of a loved one that I was very close to, and unfortunately, I found out via social media, which is never fun. So with that said, I would like to preface that she did live a long and fulfilled life. This is the aunt that Derek and I have talked about a little bit, just the two of us. She saw a gnome in her garden in the Pacific Northwest, but she would not let me tell the story, and I still am not going to tell the story because it's not mine to tell, but just know she was definitely magical. So let's back this train up. 2 weeks ago, I received a message from my aunt, and it was a photograph of the two of us when I was about 8 years old. So it's a 40-year-old photograph, and it just said, love you. And, you know, I was so happy to see that. I have the photograph, but it was a picture of the photograph that I had sent her when I received it in the mail. Then almost a week later, I find out via social media that she had passed away, and I'm not really sure of any circumstances. I am guessing old age. She always kept her age under wraps. It was classified, and everyone was on a need-to-know basis, and none of us needed to know. So before I ever found out she passed away, we were doing our nighttime routine. Everybody's in bed. I'm getting ready for the next day. I'm finally settling down with my book, and I hear this tremendously annoying noise, and I can't figure out where it's coming from. So annoyed, because I'm finally in bed and have 5 minutes to myself, I get up to find the noise, and I find it coming from the bathroom, and my son's electric toothbrush is turned on, and I want it to be on the record, this is not a loose button. It's hard to turn on. It's one of the ones that's like in the shape of a dinosaur or something ridiculous to try to get kids to brush their teeth. And it's not an easy button. So the toothbrush turns on out of nowhere. It's about 9:30, 9:45. And I'm like, what in the world? So I turn it off, I go to bed. And then the next afternoon, I found out that my aunt passed away. So I don't know if that was her way of saying goodbye, and that was kind of a roundabout story just to tell that she was magical. And with that said, because she was unique and interesting, she would want people to spend time in nature and look at all the oddities and enjoy the ride. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Addie. Always great hearing from you. Now, for those that don't know, Addie spent a ton of time helping out the show via our Facebook page and group. If you're one of the thousands over there participating, you owe her a big thank you. Now, of course, we're sorry for your loss, Addie. And I'm sorry to say I can't tell you if this strange occurrence was indeed your aunt visiting. Of course, it's entirely possible, and it's certainly timely. So perhaps it was, or perhaps it was just a big coincidence. The way I would approach this is skeptically, but also open-minded. After all, if it is your aunt reaching out, the last thing you want to do is dismiss her right off the bat. So I'm sorry that I can't give out any answers, but it sounds like you already know, Addie. Thanks again for calling in. Thanks for sharing your aunt's adventures. And don't be a stranger. Now, folks, if you'd also like to share an experience, give me a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And remember to call in from a quiet place, one story per call. Only share your story once, and true tales only. Because here at Monsters Among Us, the truth is on the line. Now, if you do take the time to call in, which I sure hope you do, you just might get featured. Just like this anonymous caller from parts unknown.
Hello, so I would like to remain anonymous. So this happened when I was like 7 or 8 years old. This may sound bad, but my mom, she had to work, but the babysitter called off. So I was left home alone watching my 2-year-old brother. And so in doing so, I hear a voice that sounds like my mom. So I went running down the steps and I looked over the railing into the kitchen. The kitchen light was on and, you know, it was nighttime. And so when I heard her voice, I looked over the railing and I looked into the kitchen, and standing there was a shadow person. And it kind of walked towards me, but stopped. It was the average description of a shadow person, kind of grayish black, foggy looking, no real features, but I can tell that it looked at me. And when it looked at me, it turned away and walked out through the wall. So I'm not sure like what these things are. I was listening to season 18, episode 2, and someone was saying how their grandmother said these are angels or something like that. It wasn't, you know, ominous. Well, it scared me, but it didn't feel evil. I kind of got the feeling that it may have been an ancestor or something, but it was just really strange. It called my name, and it was in the voice of my mother. And so that's what made me, like, run down the steps and look over the railing, like, oh, yay, my mom's home. But that wasn't the case. You know, it was a situation where, like, what just happened? What was that? And I don't know if it was an ancestor, if it was, you know, an angel. My childhood was kind of rocky from that point on. And so I can't say that it was something that caused these rocky situations, or it was something that was going to protect me from these rocky situations. But, yeah, that's my story. Thank you.
We appreciate the call. Okay, which aspect of this one creeped you out the most? Was it that it walked through a wall? Or that it seemingly glared at her caller? Or the fact that it called for her in her mother's voice? I'm glad her caller here sees this experience in a positive light, because I'm not sure that most people would have that opinion. So thanks again, mystery caller, for sharing. Creeping us all out. Now, from shadow entities to tarot cards, please welcome Danica out of Canada.
Hi, Derek. My name is Danica. I'm from Vanderhoof, BC in Canada. I read tarot cards. I've been reading for about 39 years now. My mom taught me when I was young. And one of my most memorable readings for somebody was this lady came in and she needed a reading, but she couldn't pay me. And I'm like, no, that's okay. It's not what this is about. I consider it a gift. So she just wanted me to lay the cards down and, like, yeah, just tell her what pops up. Usually I get people to ask me questions about what kind of insight they want into a question. So I lay down the cards and I see this baby girl laying in a crib, and this baby girl being taken away. I told the young lady what I saw in the cards, and I did upset her. She said, yeah, that was my daughter. And then I told her that when this baby becomes 3, you will be getting her back. So recently, just recently, I got a message from this young lady that I read for, and she got her child back. Social services had to step in because this young mom had nowhere to live, and her parents turned their backs away on her, and she was only 16 at the time. So I just wanted to tell you that one. And this other lady came in a couple of years ago, and she saw me, and she's an older lady, And I saw this man around her. He was about 5'11", salt and pepper hair, bright blue eyes, but really skinny. And I told her about him. And she was upset, but she was also very happy. That was her father. Her father had come to help her. Anyway, those are my two stories. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks, Danica, for the unique perspective. Now, typically, stories involving tarot come from the customer, not the reader. So it's nice to see things from a different point of view. Now, if I'm honest, it sort of sounds like Danica here is also clairvoyant in some sort of way. The information she gained access to seems a bit beyond the capabilities of simple tarot cards. But then again, I'm no expert on the matter, so maybe that's exactly how that works. But typically, tarot isn't used to tell the future. It's more of a self-reflection tool, a mirror that helps you tune in to your subconscious and reflect on inner feelings. At least that's how I understand it. But Danica has been practicing for 40 years, so maybe she'll tell me that I'm wrong. But she would also have to tell the producers of Strictly Supernatural, Tarot and Astrology, a 1997 documentary on the subject, because it seems like they're saying similar things.
Life is often likened to a journey into which obstacles are faced and options chosen. The images of the tarot deck reflect the stages and the challenges of this journey. To the uninitiated, the tarot cards are just pictures. To the trained reader, they are a language. The reader is the translator, the intermediary who tells the querents, as those seeking the reading are called, what their cards mean. Tarot reading is a very personal business. There's no such thing as a right and wrong way to read the cards, and readers vary widely in both style and method. But the principle of a tarot reading is always the same. The reader, or sometimes the querent, shuffles the cards, and the reader lays them out according to one of a number of set patterns known as spreads. Then the reader interprets the cards and addresses the querent's particular concerns. People seek a reading in order to focus for a while on their life, to reflect on their personal situation.
So I guess technically there is no wrong way to do it. The power lies in you. An amazing story, Danica, and we thank you again for taking the time to share.
Be part of Hollywood in some way.
People have to go and look at that link to find out.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cashback that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Field off the bat of Adele.
Now next up, we venture to my corner of the world, Liz in California. The mic is all yours.
Hey, this is Liv from California, and got a bit of a tale for you. So, in our family, my dad says we're, I guess you could say, gifted. Some of us see things, some of us hear things, some of us witness things. I'm the one who's kind of mixed. I have a little bit of mix of everything. I can hear it, I can maybe see it, but that's really it. And from all three of siblings, I'm the one who kind of am at peace with it. Well, this one night, there was a major blackout in the city. And I'm not ashamed to say it, but I hate the dark. Anyways, I have to always sleep with the light on, or I have to have some type of flashlight next to me. Well, this particular night, lights went out. And I remember that my door was slightly opened. And as I'm looking over to the left, up on the corner of the window, there's a square. A light of square. I figure it's maybe coming from outside somewhere. Maybe, I don't know, car going by or something, reflection. I'm trying to think. There's not a mirror anywhere. The curtains are drawn closed. There shouldn't be a light coming in. Kind of just shake it off, right? Well, come the next morning, my dad was telling me that he's seen a light coming from the hallway. Well, the lights were completely out. There was a blackout. There was no way that any light would be on because the only window in my room would be the one on the left-hand side. There was no light in the hallway. But he said he could see a small child standing in the hallway with her hands cupped. And in her hands, there was a light, a square box. And he could see that square box lit up. So what did my dad do? He got up. And he slightly closed his door. Meanwhile, I'm in my room trying to figure out where this light was coming from. Well, years ago, prior to us living in this home, our home was built in the 50s. But if you go into our backyard, there's two types of cement in the back. Regular cement that you would see on the sidewalk, and then there's a very one that's smooth on the very big patch of the backyard. Rumor had it that before we lived here, there was a pool in the back, and a small child, no more of three, happened to be playing outside and fell into the pool and drowned. Family was so distraught, they had the pool covered up. Every once in a while, we hear a small child running through the home giggling. We really don't mind it. She doesn't hurt anybody. She doesn't do much other than leave handprints on the doors every now and then. And when the grandkids were smaller, they would giggle and laugh. And I also remember having toys go off in the middle of the night. She's lived here with us all of my life. She's not really a threat. So she knows that we don't light the dark. So I'm assuming maybe this little girl knew that there was a rolling blackout and that we did not light the dark and I did not light the dark. And she decided to hold the light up. Nonetheless, it's creepy. I had to close my door. Well, I hope you enjoy this story. I have others to tell. Thanks for your time.
He simply closed the door. I guess that's one way of dealing with it. And what a sad story. The ghost of a drowned little girl in a swimming pool. A kind little girl, at least. That is, if the theory that Liz put forth is true. That she was simply bringing light into the darkness. Now, even when they do nice things, I think ghost children are downright creepy. And I'm not sure that you'll ever convince me otherwise. But a big thanks, Liz, for sharing the call. Now, to the other side of the country we go. Time to hear from Sydney in Tennessee.
Hi, this is Sydney from Tennessee. My dad always had trouble with digital watches, and he was a mechanic, so anything that had a computer inside would mess up when he was around it. Computers would shut off, weird things. Well, one day, early 2000, my sister and I were on the computer, and we hear our dad come home from work. And he's like, hey, girls, how's it going? and we see him set his lunchbox on the island in the kitchen and then walk into the bedroom, and we just go back to playing on the computer. And a few minutes later, my mom comes out and is like telling us, girls, get off the computer. Your dad's going to be home. And we're like, well, he would have walked like right past you, because you have to go through the kitchen to get into the bedroom, and it's just a straight shot. And she's looking around, looking at us like we're making stuff up to stay on the computer, and his lunchbox is not there. His truck is not there. So we get freaked out. Like, we saw him come in. We talked to him. We saw the lunchbox. And then 10, 15 minutes later, maybe, he comes home and does the same thing. He's like, hey, girls. And we just mom him. We're like, hey, why'd you leave? What was going on? And he's like, excuse me, I just got home. I've had a busy day. I don't appreciate this. And we're like, we saw you come in. And he turns to look at my mom to see, like, what's this joke about? She has no explanation either. She's like, they swear they saw you. He's like, we talked to you, and we don't have an explanation for it. My sister doesn't even like to talk about it. I don't know if it was like a weird time slip thing, or he just always has had weird electrical things anyway going on with, yeah, like clocks resetting around him and stuff. So we don't know what it is. We always talk about how weird it is that we both saw and heard the same thing. But that's it. That's my story. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sydney. You know, I often refer to this phenomenon as ghosts of the living, because for all intents and purposes, you are reporting a ghost. The only issue is that the person the ghost belongs to is still alive and well. Now, believe it or not, this sort of report occurs all the time. But there are two ways to look at this. One person's ghost of the living could easily be another person's astral travel experience. Take Joseph's tale, for example. He's calling in from Canada.
Hey, Derek, this is Joseph from Montreal, Quebec. The first story that I want to share with you kind of has to do with astral projection, I guess. And to preface this, I used to buy my weed off of this guy. It was so weird how I met this guy, too. It was so by chance. So one day my friend was just outside walking his dog, and this guy walks past him and he says, hey. And my buddy turns around and he goes, hey. And the guy goes, do you smoke weed? And my buddy goes, yeah. And he's like, well, if ever you need some, here's my number. I ended up calling the guy, and we actually became friends. Super nice guy and everything. So we started talking about, like, the Bible and all these weird conspiracies and everything like that. And one day, after about 2 years of knowing the guy goes to me, I left my body last night. I went, what? And he goes, yeah. He's like, I astral projected. I kind of just, like, laughed it off and said, okay, sure. Well, one night I was sitting outside and I was smoking, and I got this feeling, you know, the feeling you get when you just feels like somebody's breathing on your neck, your hair goes up, you get like goosebumps, and it's just like somebody is just behind you standing there. Well, I got that feeling, but super intense. I mean, like, it was like almost like I was shaking someone off my back, like literally to the point where I vocalized, stop it. So maybe a few days goes by and I see my buddy. He goes, so I came to see you the other day. And I went, shut up. He's like, yeah, I came to see you. And I was like, all right, whatever. I leave, I go home. A few days after that, I'm back outside and I'm smoking. I get the same feeling again. It was so intense. It was maybe 11 o'clock at night and pitch black outside. And it was almost like, in my mind, I could hear somebody like laughing and joking, but I couldn't hear any like words or anything like that. But it was just like laughing, like almost like, hey, you know, I literally said, Pat, if this is you, buddy, please stop. It's not the time. Like, it really freaked me out. It was to that point where I turned around and I said it, and poof, the feeling went away. So I saw him again a few days after. He said, so I came to see you again. And I said, shut up. And he goes, yeah, you said, Pat, it's not the time, man. If it's you, it's not the time. Just leave me alone. He's like, so I left. And he gave me this coy smile and he just walked away. And I was left there. It brought me to tears because it was so just crazy. It was like, I thought my mind was just like gone. Anyway, he freaked me out. I don't know if there's any credence to this or any, I mean, I have to believe it. I just have to believe it because it was just too much of a coincidence. And how can he say the same words that I literally said out loud? And the guy was living like 10 kilometers away from me. But yeah, have a good one.
Thank you, Joseph. So perhaps Sydney's father accidentally astral traveled onto his home. Maybe he was sitting in traffic, wishing he was already home so badly that his life force went on ahead without his body. Perhaps he and Joseph's friend Pat share a similar gift. Now it'll take a smarter man than me to figure this all out, but I think I might be on the right track here. And with help from folks like Sydney and Joseph, we're one step closer to exposing that connection. So thanks again to both of you for sharing the phone calls.
Now, let's switch gears.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cashback that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Now off to my boyhood home of Ohio. Please welcome Mercedes to tonight's broadcast.
Hi, Derek. My name is Mercedes. I'm from Ohio. About a year ago, I went on a girls' trip for my friend's birthday. We went to Tennessee to a town. I can't remember what it was called or where it was at. I think they said it was about an hour or two away from Gatlinburg. It was still a touristy little place, and we were staying in a cabin. It was like in the mountains. So the roads were steep getting up to the cabin, and the roads were really, really windy. And then the cabin had four floors. There was a porch on all the floors. The very bottom floor had a hot tub and a pool and a bathroom. And the floor above that was some bedrooms and a bathroom. And then the floor above that was the kitchen, dining room, living room area. And that's where you would also enter into the cabin from the driveway. And then the floor above that one, it had two rooms. One was just like a bedroom. The other room, it was just kind of like when you got to the top of the stairs, you were already in this room. It had like a pool table, a TV, pull-out couch, and it had like two bunk beds. So the birthday girl stayed in that big bedroom that was in there. And then me, my friend Shai, and my friend Beck stayed in the other room. Me and Beck stayed on bunk beds, and Shai used the pull-out couch. So we got there, I think it was like on a Friday, you know, we hung out and whatever. And then the next day we woke up and we decided to go for a walk, which wasn't very fun because there was just so many hills just in the short, like the tiny little area that we were in with a group of cabins. But we went for a walk And we were coming up on to a part of the road where you could either go straight or you could turn left. And if you were in a car, turning left was basically like a U-turn. And that was the road that we had to get down to get back to the cabin. And then right across from that U-turn, there was a drop off. And as we approached that drop off, we heard sounded like a male's voice. It was a very emotionless, very monotone voice, just kind of saying help, help. It was a little bit creepy. Me being the smart person that I am, I walked towards the voice. And this was during the day. So it was late morning, early afternoon, but it was overcast and it was raining a little bit, but I didn't see anything. And there was a cabin kind of off to the right, but I don't remember there being a door or anything. So it was just super weird. And the sound was it was far away enough from the cabin that I feel we would have heard somebody walking or running back to the cabin to hide. So I didn't see anybody, but then we kind of finished our walk. And I think we kind of sort of forgot about it just because, there was just so many hills, very steep hills. And we only had one bottle of water between us because, smart people. So, we got back to the cabin. We all went to dinner later and we got to bed a little bit late. I think probably around midnight. I slept on the bunk that was right next to the porch, but the door going to the porch, that whole wall was just windows. So it was really, really pretty. And then Beck stayed on the bottom bunk right next to the stairwell. So when she slept, her head was right by the stair rail. And then Shai slept on the pullout couch and she fell asleep watching a movie. And, Beck and I just fell asleep on our own. Well, the next morning, me and Shai were on the porch. There was a rooster somewhere out crowing. And she started to tell me that it was the middle of the night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe. She woke up because a rooster started crowing. And I thought this was just kind of weird because I live in a farm state, but at the same time, I've only ever lived in the suburbs. So I don't know if that's normal for a rooster. Maybe you could tell me, but it seems like it would be a little bit out of character just because it's I've only ever known roosters to crow when, the sun's coming up. So I thought that was weird. But then when Beck woke up, she started telling me about how she did not get any sleep. It was between the hours of 4 and 6. She heard someone walking up the stairs and they would always stop about 4 steps away from the top, just walking back and forth, but always stopping at the same spot. And she thought somebody was coming up to see the birthday girl and she looked, nobody was there. So then she would just be like, oh, okay, brush it off and then fall back asleep. But then it would wake up again to somebody walking again. She said that went on for a couple hours. So that's really, really creepy too. So by the time that we started to go back home that weekend, I was just what the heck was all of that? It was definitely creepy. That was only my second time probably staying in Tennessee. And I'm not sure that I'm a big fan of it. A little bit too creepy for me, but whatever. But yeah, I just thought you would enjoy hearing that. I'm really enjoying the podcast. Keep up the work. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Mercedes. Now, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Be careful where you stay. I get a lot of reports about haunted Airbnbs, rental cabins, and hotel rooms. I even did an entire episode on hotels and motels just a few weeks ago. There's just something about the constant flow of energy in these places that makes them the perfect breeding ground for paranormal activity. So that's why I say to be careful. If you have a little protection ritual that you do, perhaps you want to perform that as you walk in. If you want to smoke cleanse the place, well, that might violate house rules, but go ahead and try it. Or at worst, if you walk in and get that feeling, maybe find a new place to stay. But if you do choose to stay, remember who to call with your terrifying story. Thanks again, Mercedes, for sharing this gnarly experience. Now, folks, the Dogman Days of Summer Sale is officially over. but you can still get your hands on the latest and greatest Monsters Among Us gear simply by visiting monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on that shop tab. But full disclosure, you might want to wait a week to check your card out. We will be announcing a brand new item within the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that. But until then, don't forget to visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click on that shop tab. Now, please welcome Dan out of Illinois.
Hey, Derek. This is Dan from Illinois. I wanted to give you a story about something that happened a couple weeks back. I was dog sitting at my grandparents' house because my grandma went to Alaska for a wedding. Growing up as a kid, I grew up in this house. So it was one night, I was by myself and I was getting ready to go to bed. So I was walking through the house, turning all the lights down. And I was in the main living room and I was about to leave. Out of nowhere, I heard the sound of wind chimes, and they were very clear, very distinct. Sounded like they were from inside the house, like in the next room. Immediately, I started to walk backwards in the exact same step to see if I made something move or anything like that, but nothing ever happened. And then immediately I started thinking, like, oh, well, maybe it's this photo album thing that is in the next room to where you can upload photos and such, maybe a video played on it to where the wind chimes happen. But I'm mostly the person in the family that uploads videos to there, and I've been in the house all day long for the past few days, and there are no recordings of any wind chimes on there. Now, there are wind chimes in the kitchen, but they were not hung. They were actually laying on the table with some paperwork that my grandma left. She never hung them back up. So that's the only thing I can think of that might have happened, but I don't know where the sound came from at all. I went through everything I could think of, but nothing could come to mind. And I stayed there a couple more nights, and I did not hear any wind chimes around the same time, nor any other time that I had stayed there. So thanks for all your work, man. I appreciate everything you do. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan. Now, you'd think there'd be some sort of mundane explanation for these phantom chimes, but it sounds like Dan did his due diligence and found none. But why wind chimes, though? Why is that the sound that's being reproduced or pulled from the ether? No, I'm not saying it wouldn't be an eerie experience. I just wonder why wind chimes, of all things. Now, we appreciate you sharing, Dan, and we also thank you for trying to debunk your strange experience. All right, folks, it's time for tonight's final entry. And this one takes us back to the infamous Borrego Triangle once again. I told you there was a lot of activity there. Well, this time the report comes to us from Bailey, calling in from the state of Washington.
Hi, Derek. This is Bailey. I live in Spokane, Washington, but we lived in Anza, California during these stories. And I had never heard of Anza outside of our experience until I started listening to your podcast. But it's a really cool town, but it's very strange. Like, I love it. There's, like, you know, hitching posts for horses outside of every single store there. It's just, I would live there forever. I would totally go back. I almost named my youngest daughter Anza. Anyway, we were living on just a little property up there, and we had a wash that went through our yard, and there were coyotes and stuff all the time, and there was actually a den right in front of our property up there. So they'd be going by, you know, they're like wildlife highways. And one day we heard all the coyotes just screaming, you know, calling. And then all of a sudden they just stopped. And it was like eerily quiet. And the next day when we went outside in the sand, it's really fine sand, but it had rained like the night before, so it was wet. And there were very large footprints outside of our window, like somebody had been standing there and looking in. But they didn't have like boot tracks or anything. It looked like it was a barefoot, no shoe. And it was very large. And it just was eerie, especially because all the coyotes just went silent all of a sudden. We were looking it up, and apparently Anza has a lot of like Bigfoot activity, I guess, which is really weird to me because it's like, you know, if you're not in the national park, it's kind of just like scrubland. So that makes like no sense, but it was really, really weird. And then another time we had a friend who also lived there, and one day he came over. He used to come over for lunch like every day, and we were talking, but he was just acting like kind of off, and usually he's really chatty. And he's like, "Can I tell you guys something?" We're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Don't think I'm crazy." And we're like, "Okay." And he said that he was in his greenhouse and he was on the phone, and all of a sudden his phone cut out and he could just hear like this humming noise. And he walked outside of his greenhouse and there was like a cigar-shaped craft flying overhead, and it was silver, and it was just making this really low hum, and he got really scared, and he ran inside, and it was just odd. And I guess Anza has a whole bunch of alien sightings too, so yeah, Anza's just a really weird place. I love it a lot, and I was really excited to hear you talk about it on your podcast, so everybody should visit at least once. All right. Thank you so much. Keep it spooky.
Thanks, Bailey. You know, I've been telling everyone that I can that that little chunk of land down there is freaky as all get out. And it's not just one phenomenon. Ghost stories, spook lights, cryptids, Sasquatch, military cover-up, and of course, UFOs. Now, I'm sure most of you are sick of me talking about it by now, but I even shot a documentary on all the strange activity that's been reported down there. You can find a link to Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle, in tonight's show notes. And you can watch it for free on Tubi. And in said documentary, we cover a creature that some folks in that area say lurks in the canyons and ravines, hidden by the manzanita, live oak, and cottonwood trees. In the lower parts of the triangle, the low desert, they call him the Borrego Sandman. But in higher country, places like Warner Springs and Anza, they're more inclined to call it Mountain Devil, or maybe even Bigfoot. But in my opinion, we're talking about the same creature. An animal that avoids detection by always moving, venturing to the low desert in the winter months, then back to higher elevations in the summer. A cycle that takes it past farms, roads, and homes. And there are reports of this creature going back hundreds of years. So speaking of that documentary, I thought it would be a great time to share a story that was featured there. A report from a witness we found in that area. A witness that seemingly encountered the very same creature that Bailey did. The following again is from my documentary, Shadows in the Desert, High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle, and features witness Moralia Landeros.
I was coming home from Warner Springs, and I remember coming to a curve, so I had to slow down. And on the right-hand side of the road, there was this huge person-like animal, or Bigfoot. It was very hairy, but it was looking right at us, crossing right in front of us. And I had to slow down because I was going to turn in the curve, so I slowed down enough to where I had time to cross. And he crossed the street with just a couple of steps, which was like, what, you know? And he just hunched back and did this kind of motion. And then as we drove on, and I looked in my rearview mirror, it was just standing upright, just looking at us, you know, just staring at us. And it was tall. And it was hairy, very hairy. It didn't have any clothes. It was just covered in hair. It was like a dark brown, grayish, brownish. I think the eyes were the most captivating to me because they didn't have the white of your eyes like we do. It was just a solid, dark color. I remember just focusing on his eyes. The stare, you know, it was just like a stare. I was afraid. I felt fear because it was very large. I was in almost like holding my breath. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. So I just kept going. You know, I wasn't going to turn back.
Now you can watch the film for free on Amazon Prime if you have it, or on Tubi for free. A link is also in the show notes. And it should be noted that it's not the only Bigfoot sighting from that area featured in the film. And it also won't be the last, I would wager. So yeah, Bailey, this area does seem to have a lot of activity, and I'm doing my best to ensure that people know about it. So thanks for the assist, and thanks for calling in here this evening, because that's going to do it for this episode. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to like us on our social media pages, join us on Discord, follow us on YouTube, and leave us a rate and review if you can do such a thing. Now don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Unexplained Network. Just visit unexnetwork.com to tune in. And while you're at it, check out the audiobook I narrated. It's called I Saw It Out There, Terrifying True Stories of Unexplained Encounters, Cryptid Sightings, and Paranormal Horrors in the Wilderness by Tom Lyons. You can find it on Audible. There's also a link in the show notes. Now, don't forget about Monsters Among Us Jr. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget to join us in the beyond. Visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. All right, folks, until next time, you keep it spooky and have a good night.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay,
cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
But my worry is that his social media is now taking on a violent turn.
All right, gang. In true secret story fashion, this next one is a weird one. Please welcome Will, out of Pennsylvania.
Hey, this is Will, calling from the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. Saw something the other day that I thought you might find interesting. I was driving home the other day and pulled right in front of my house. We live kind of out in the middle of nowhere, very heavily wooded area. And there were some deer crossing the road, so I slowed down to let the herd pass. And just as the last deer crossed the road, started moving my car again, and this strange-looking animal came out from the brushes and walked across the street. When I saw this animal, I was going maybe 5 miles an hour. So it's not like I saw this animal for a split second going 45 on the highway. And I also would just like to mention that I did see this in broad daylight, beautiful sunny day when I saw it. It crossed the street in front of me, maybe at most 40 feet in front of the front of my car. So I did not see it from a great distance either. It walked fairly slowly, and so I got a good look at it. And it was about the size of a large jackrabbit, so maybe about 2 feet long. And it was standing about 2 feet high. And at first, I thought it was just a large rabbit, but then I got a good look at it, and it had straight legs, like a deer's legs, not hunched and hopping like a rabbit, but walking very gracefully like a deer. But it was only about 2 feet tall, and it was a light brown kind of beige color with no noticeable stripes or spots or any sort of color variation throughout the coat of its body. It was kind of this uniform beige color, and it did not have a long neck like a deer would. It had a short, stumpy neck connected directly to the shoulders, and when I looked at its head, it had a tiny trunk that was kind of hanging off the front of its face. And I think most importantly, it did not have a long tail. I did not even notice any tail of any kind on it. And it had no visible signs of mange. It had very short but healthy looking hair. And so I'm convinced that whatever it was that I saw definitely was not a raccoon or an opossum that had become kind of misshapen through sickness. Whatever this animal was, it was healthy looking and moved like a healthy, normal animal. Now, I only got a look at it for a couple of seconds as it walked across the street, and it really confused me. I was like, I'm pretty familiar with most of the animals that live in the area. I'm very outdoors oriented, and I'd never seen anything like this before, at least in this area, but it was kind of bugging me. It didn't look completely foreign, but it looked unlike anything that I'd ever seen in the wild. And eventually it hit me that it was a tapir. They're indigenous to South America, I believe. It is a small four-legged animal, small hooved feet, kind of like a deer, and a short, squat head with kind of this little trunk on the front of it. And I know for a fact that those things are not native to the Pocono Mountains, so what I can only describe as a tiny tapir would be doing up here, I have no idea, but not exactly a big scary monster, but sure gave me a shock when I saw it. So hopefully I'm not the only one that's seen this thing running around, and if anyone else has, I would love to hear their story. Thanks for your time. Love the show. Have a good one.
Thanks, Will. Well, that's a fun one. A possible tapir in Pennsylvania. Now, if you want to see what a tapir looks like, you can Google it, T-A-P-I-R, or hit up the link in tonight's show notes. But Will pretty much nailed it. It's a larger, pig-shaped ungulate, standing about 3 foot at the shoulder and growing as long as 6 feet. These are not tiny creatures. And on the tip of their nose, they have a prehensile, snout-like appendage. Not quite pig-like, but not quite elephant-like either. Now, if you look at one of these creatures, it sort of resembles a pig. The snout is somewhat similar. The ears are in a similar placement. The body shape is very much the same. So similar, in fact, that in the wild, I bet you could confuse the two. And to help support that opinion, it just so happens that Pennsylvania is in the midst of a wild hog crisis.
A new study shows the range of feral hogs expanding northwards into 14 of Pennsylvania's counties. It's from the outdoor trip planning website Captain Experiences, which uses data from the University of Georgia. Professors from the Penn State University say Bedford County is seeing the most severe of these effects out of the 10 counties in our coverage area. Melanie Barkley of Penn State Bedford says the feral swine can easily adapt to life on their own, foraging in fields and damaging the roots of crops.
The farmers may see a nice field the evening before, and they come out the next morning, and the hogs have gone through and literally destroyed a large portion of the crop. They root them up. They may feed on the crop themselves, or they may be digging up insects in the soil where the crops are growing.
Researchers say ways that hogs get a chance to revert to being wild include people releasing them, or if they happen to escape from farmers. Hogs can have multiple litters of 8 to 12 offspring.
Now that clip courtesy of WJAC, NBC News 6, out of West Central Pennsylvania. So could it be that simple? Maybe a weird-looking feral hog? Or is it possible someone released a South American monster on the Pocono Mountains? Fun stuff either way. We thank you again, Will, for sharing it. All right, gang, it's time. Grab your helmet and kiss your loved ones goodbye, because we're going beyond the after show where we continue to play calls and share more stories. And to join us, all you have to do is visit us on Patreon, Apple subscriptions, or go to monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. Either way, $5 a month gives you access to the rest of tonight's episode and days worth of previously unheard content. And you can test it all out for free for 7 days. So what are you waiting for? Join us in the beyond today and hear stories like Kathy's out of the state of Mississippi.
Hey, Derek. My name is Kathy. I'm from a small town called Canton, Mississippi, which is central Mississippi. As a child, my childhood home was haunted. It had a lot of different things that would happen to me, and my siblings would have experiences too. The experience I was going to tell you about today happened probably about 1980, 1979, somewhere around in that time. I was probably about 14, 13 years old. Anyway, my experience happened when I had a friend come spend the night. Her name was Nancy. She came to spend the night with me. And we decided that we were going to sleep in the living room because we wanted to watch TV that night. And it was probably watching Saturday Night Live. But back in the day, at whenever midnight, the TV would go off. So we watched TV. And when it was time to go to bed, we just turned the TV off. And she had made a pallet in the living room floor, and I made my little pallet on the couch. And in the living room, my dad had an old desk. It was a solid wooden desk. It would sit in the corner by the door. And on one side of the desk, it would have drawers. And then on the other side, it had like a little door that you would open, and it would have little slots where you could, you know, put files or what have you in there. Also, that night, you know, after supper, my mom had washed all the dishes, pots and pans, and she always left everything on the counter to let it dry overnight. And then she would, you know, put the dishes up in the morning. But anyway, after we were watching whatever. So I say, I heard we have ourselves a great movie.
Audiences are going loony for Coyote versus Acme.
Couldn't agree more.
And critics are calling it a wildly entertaining movie.
I'm here for the innie and any pantsless modeling gig.
Ingenious.
Exactly.
Chaotic comedy fun.
Exactly.
A family-friendly blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
And pure movie magic.
Pretty flattering. I think things like this make us look pretty good in the public eye.
Beep, beep.
Coyote versus Acme. In theaters August 28th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.